Hello, everybody. You're looking live at Fansville, a college football utopia.
Fansville.
Where the rivers flow with ice-cold Dr. Pepper.
Delicious.
Where every day is Saturday and everyone's a fan, even babies.
Fan babies.
And the seasons never change because the only season is college football season. Get a taste of Fansville this fall during a college football game near you. Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville. Grab some today.
Along with Jonathan Hood, in for Ian Fitzsimmons, I'm just merely Freddie Coleman, together with Freddie and Fitzsimmons, presented by Progressive Insurance and the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80 and iHeartRadio. Still going back to last time, we got a lot to look forward to in the National Football League this week, and as a matter of fact, coming up in about 10 minutes, something is going on in the National Football League that they should really be thanking college football for. That comes your way in about 10 minutes. But I guarantee you there's still plenty of conversation regarding Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy, the head coach, and how much now he is on the clock in terms of counting down to when he's going to be dismissed by the Green Bay Packers. 4-5-1, they're not out of things when it comes to the NFC North. They're not that far behind Minnesota. They're still not that far behind the Green Bay, they're behind the Chicago Bears, although it's getting late early for the Green Bay Packers. But I will say this, it didn't help Mike McCarthy. Not so much the decision that he made last night, Jonathan. 4th and 2. One timeout left, 4:20 to play. You're down by a field goal to the Seattle Seahawks. You take Aaron Rodgers off the field. You punt and play defense. I think what may have sealed his fate, other than the loss and that they might not make the playoffs, was the look on Aaron Rodgers' face when he went to the sidelines and didn't look happy about it and then just stared straight into space, not talking to anybody as the clock wound down on that loss to the Seattle Seahawks. That may be more of an indictment on Mike McCarthy than anything else.
His face was a picture of frustration several times this year. We saw it last time, and we continue to see that with Aaron Rodgers, because he looks around just the whole landscape of the NFL and definitely in the division and say, you know, how come we can't get better? How come we as the Green Bay Packers are not on the same stratosphere as teams that are supposed to be going for the Super Bowl? I just think that there's going to be something that's going to change there. Now, under Ted Thompson as a general manager, this would not be a discussion, because there was a lot of loyalty with Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy. And you know Thompson, for years, Freddie, he kept things together. He would make sure that he would draft properly and keep those players and sign those players. Not a lot of outside influences, not a lot of outside players in free agency. They take care of their own players. And again, it all depends on how you look at success. You and I look at success maybe a little bit differently. I think it's about getting to the playoffs. I think it's about trying to get to the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. There's a staircase effect, step by step, for you to be able to get to your ultimate destination. And with the Packers, yes, they've had plenty of playoff runs, and yes, they've had a Super Bowl back in 2010. But when you talk to just the average Packer fan, when you turn on our affiliate in Milwaukee, Freddie, they're not happy, because there's a lot of underachievement from their standpoint with this Packers team.
I'm not going to put a lot of blame, or really a good amount of blame, on Aaron Rodgers why his coach could be gone once this season is over. But you mentioned, in terms of that support and loyalty that has not been there ever since Ted Thompson was told to go away, or he retired on his own, whatever led to that decision, Ted Thompson is no longer the general manager of the Green Bay Packers. Mike McCarthy has never had the full-on support of Aaron Rodgers. Now, if Aaron Rodgers believed in him as a coach or did not believe in him as a coach, at least you need a united front from that standpoint. I'm not blaming Aaron Rodgers. That if you're unhappy, I would have felt the same way last night. 4th and 2, you're taking the ball out of my hands. If we don't get it, at least go down with your best pitch. And Aaron Rodgers is always going to be their best pitch. That's why the Green Bay Packers have had so many issues, because he's been their best pitch, and they believe that you don't need a lot around him, but just enough. And Aaron Rodgers is more than enough to make it work for us to be a Super Bowl contender year in and year out, even though they've fallen short too many times with that kind of guy as your quarterback. So if you're the Green Bay Packers, if you can't have a united front between your quarterback and your head coach, and your quarterback made no bones about how he felt last night, that could be an indictment on Mike McCarthy, because Aaron Rodgers holds the power in that organization, and everybody knows it.
It's just, there's McCarthy fatigue all across Wisconsin. And it's because they want change. It's one thing they want change. It's one thing to say, I don't want this coach here anymore. It's just that you don't want a great like Aaron Rodgers, similar to Brett Favre, to be able to just win one Super Bowl. Now, I know a lot of markets around that are listening to us say, I would just love for my team to get a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. But when there's expectations on the line, Freddie, when you are expected to be able to not only get to the playoffs, but be in the mix for the Super Bowl, that's a whole different story. Mike Holmgren is tied to that Super Bowl with Brett Favre back in 1997. There was some wins as far as winning the division and getting into the playoffs, but there should have been more there. There should have been more stake than sizzle when it came to that Green Bay Packers team under Favre. Same thing with Aaron Rodgers. The last thing a Packer fan wants is just to see the one Super Bowl and then have all these great moments from Aaron Rodgers, but nothing to show for it except the one Super Bowl.
And when you're Mike McCarthy, you know that it's not going to be an easy situation being in charge of the Green Bay Packers, because when you sign that extension, and he did that in 2018, early this year, signed a one-year contract extension to stay with the Green Bay Packers. Plenty of people are expecting more than what they've gotten from you, because a lot of that blame is not going to be placed on the quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. They're going to place that blame on you. Have you had any hand in players coming in or not coming in to supplement your quarterback or not supplement him? They're not going to point that finger over there. They're going to point that finger at you. Mike McCarthy had to have known that. Of course, he knew that being a head coach. But now more than ever before, things not going well. Well, it can't be Aaron Rodgers' fault. He's doing everything possible. Mike McCarthy, what have you done? And that question has been begging regarding him. It's not Aaron Rodgers. Can't put that on him, why he's going to have the demise as a head coach. But Mike McCarthy also has not helped. And Aaron Rodgers did not go out of his way to say, hey, I defend my coach. I wonder how much of that is playing in the factor of Mike McCarthy no longer being the head coach when this season is over.
Yeah, I think that that's something that very well could be inevitable, because if you're Brian Gutekunst, the general manager for the Green Bay Packers, you have to figure out, we got to catch lightning in the bottle here, because we don't know how many good years that are left for Aaron Rodgers. And I know that sometimes we as fans and sometimes in the media kind of look over through the knot hole in the fence and says, okay, well, this team's doing better. How come we can't catch up with the Joneses? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, for a long time, the Packers were the Joneses. But the only thing is that we have already had, we've already talked about teams like Kansas City.
Right.
And talking about New Orleans, and we're talking about prolific offenses. We saw the Eagles and what they were able to do, again, with a strong offense. And Aaron Rodgers, he's part of a strong offense, too. But there's other teams that are doing that RPO a lot better than Rodgers. Yeah. Look, we've seen Aaron Rodgers come off the gurney like he did against Chicago. like the Undertaker, he rises up, and then all of a sudden he wins ball games. So we've seen the dramatic. We've seen the great from Aaron Rodgers. But I guess from a Green Bay Packers fan standpoint, Freddie, they just don't. They want to see more from that Packer team.
And they believe they should have seen more with Aaron Rodgers, especially playing quarterback for them. Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons, joining me, Freddie Coleman, on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio. You make that point about with the RPOs and the kind of quarterbacks that are part of college football that are going to be in the National Football League, it's going to lead to the demise of certain coaches. For example, John Harbaugh. Hearing rumors about him that after this season is over, the Baltimore Ravens and John Harbaugh will part ways with each other. Can't confirm anything, but that smoke is out there regarding him. I wonder how many of these new coaching hires will be more offensive than ever before, because you have a quarterback in Lamar Jackson. He's going to probably start this Sunday for the Baltimore Ravens. More than ever before, if you're going to have those kind of quarterbacks coming into the NFL, you need a person that can teach it. That's why Matt Nagy is doing what he's been able to do with Mitchell Trubisky in Chicago. We've seen Andy Reid change for Pat Mahomes. RPOs are being run all over the place. The Patriots run a lot of it. The Pittsburgh Steelers run a lot of it. More than ever before, if you're a defensive-minded guy, a coordinator job is probably going to be yours.
Mm-hmm.
But you may not get the love, as you mentioned to me, about being a head coach, because the NFL keeps going more offensive, which means that more offensive-minded guys, offensive play callers like a Lincoln Riley in Oklahoma, are going to get a lot more consideration than a defensive-minded coach who may have been part of the NFL fabric for more than a minute.
you and I grew up watching sports and being able to appreciate both sides, offense and defense. NFL films for many years showed some of the great defensive players along with offensive players because that's where sports were. Look at where we are in 2018. And I'll go to the NBA because Brian Windhorst and Byron Scott had this conversation on SportsCenter. And Windhorst wrote a column on ESPN.com saying that defensive coaches in the NBA are a generation behind. Mm-hmm. You could say the same thing for a lot of coordinators in the NFL as well. Now, listen, there's a lot of bend don't break in the NFL, and the same thing in the NBA where more times than not, you're seeing more along the lines of all-star games.
Yeah.
You see more all-star games than actual NBA games because offense rules. Offense rules. And from an NBA standpoint, it's hard for a defensive coach to say, okay, you can't grab, you can't touch, but somehow, some way, you still got to guard. And the same thing in the NFL. There's terrific NFL players that can get it done defensively, but again, everything's offensive-minded where you can't touch a guy. You can't touch a quarterback, can't touch a running back, can't touch a wide receiver. So both of those two sports are parallel to one another, and defense in sports is slowly having a death here. And so if you're a defensive-minded coach, Tom Thibodeau, who's looking at you, Tom, mm-hmm. it's going to be hard for you to be able to get a head coaching job when you only know one side of the floor.
Well, so far they're playing a lot better in Minnesota. He's let them play freely on offense, but that's the antithesis of what he has been about in the NBA, how he's made his name. I wonder how long that's going to last with him and how much of this will continue in the NFL. That becomes more offensive-minded, and they want more of those like guys to help themselves in the arms race, especially now with quarterbacks getting a lot more love, rules more in favor in them more than ever before, and those guys been able to take full advantage of that. Don't forget there's a football Sunday doubleheader for you. The Titans will visit the Colts, and then the Saints host the Eagles, presented by Vivid Seats. Pre-game begins at noon Eastern time right here on most ESPN radio stations. He is Jonathan Hood. I'm Freddie Coleman. This is how good it's been for the NFL. And it's the fault of college football. Keep it here on Freddie and Fitzsimmons.
I can't believe it.
That Philip brought his little brother on our mission into orbit.
How long until we get there? How long until we get there? How long until we get there?
No, I can't believe how easy it was to save hundreds of dollars on my car insurance with Geico.
What's this button do? What's this button do? What's this button do? What's this button do?
Don't touch that!
Believe it, Geico could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
For the first time in years, this NFL season has been better than a college football year. And college football, it's your fault. We have a foregone conclusion in the NBA when it comes to Golden State winning a championship. That's why so many people are losing their minds with the whole Kevin Durant, Draymond Green tiff, and what is the future going to look like? What if Kevin Durant leaves? And even though with all of that, many people still believe Golden State is going to win an NBA championship. You look at college football, it's been a foregone conclusion that unless Alabama falls down, they're going to win a national championship. Only one team many people believe can compete with them, that's Clemson. It's also been a foregone conclusion, Jonathan Hood, that Tua Tagovailoa, the Alabama quarterback, is going to win the Heisman Trophy. That seemed to be settled before Columbus Day in college football. Meanwhile, in the NFL, each and every time we turn around, a different week has a different storyline or a great game or something else happening. And the MVP race is still wide open, in my opinion. And the championship race is still wide open, despite the success of the Saints, the Chiefs, the Rams, and teams like that.
Yeah, they should change the Heisman Trophy to the Nissan Tua watch instead of the Heisman watch, because it really is a Tua watch. I mean, it's
well done.
I mean, it really should be, because he has been the guy, as I mentioned to you. He should not only be the Heisman Trophy winner, but also the Cy Young Award winner, because he's really a starter, and he usually has his backups close the games for him if need be. There was a time where Tua wasn't even playing in the fourth quarter, but still, he's just going to run away. I live for Saturdays. I love college football, but man, you know, the exciting games, the marquee games, Freddie, are few and far in between. There's a few. You take a look at West Virginia, Texas, and Texas and Oklahoma, and the overtime game with Stanford and Oregon was fun, and Clemson and Texas A&M. But as far as the marquee games and the type of offense that we've been seeing in college football, it's really just relegated to the Big 12, because that's up and down. But you know what? The NFL, because of the Rams, because of the Saints, because of a number of teams that are lighting it up, they really have had the advantage, I think, this year.
One thing about the NFL, because it's been a public relations fiasco for this organization, And the NFL is a big-time organization the last couple of years. Anytime something good would happen, they always seem to step in their own way. They could not get out of their own way. I give them credit this year for just shutting up. Something has gone on. They have not allowed it to continue to manifest and take away from the play on the field. Plenty of people have tried. Nothing has been able to get in their own way. It's like the owners finally grew a spine. It's like they finally grew a backbone to say, what do people want? That's right. They want football. Because plenty of people thought with the new rules when it came to roughing the passer that that was going to unnerve everybody and was going to bring down the league. And I warned people. I said, this will get on your nerves the first couple of weeks, and after that, everybody will settle in. What's happened? Everybody has settled in. Players are still sacking the quarterback, but now they're doing it in a way where they're not getting flagged for it all the time, like we saw the first 2 or 3 weeks. The NFL even made it a point to say, okay, we got to tweak this a little bit, but we still want to protect the quarterback. We need our stars out here to be there. And that star power has shown up week after week, whether it's old stars like Drew Brees or Tom Brady, emerging stars once again like J.J. Watt, what he's been able to do, Todd Gurley with the Rams, and then you got the new dudes on the block where they have Pat Mahomes on one side and even also Jared Goff. Even the Le'Veon Bell situation has not brought down the Pittsburgh Steelers or brought down the league. Their stars have shown up, or when their stars have acted like knuckleheads, it hasn't been to the point where we've seen the last couple of years. College football, they have that one major star right now, Tua Tagovailoa, but it's a foregone conclusion when he plays. You know he's going to win by 50. So that novelty effect is not going to be there like we've seen in previous years in college football.
And another added wrinkle that we have to mention now is, there's a difference between you tuning in and not tuning in. I don't know, but I will say this, that the NFL has become more of a friendlier league. The celebrations that we've seen, the planned celebrations in the end zone and on the sidelines, that's something that we have not seen since we were watching NFL films as kids back in the day.
I know.
But look at what happened in 2018 now. And whatever you want to say about Roger Goodell, and there are some things, if you had a sheet of paper and you looked at the good things and bad things about his tenure as a commissioner, we had to say this, that he's allowing players to be able to show personality, because it really looked, it looked stagnant, I think, for a long time, where players cannot show personality. Here's the thing. They have helmets on, so you really can't see their face. Mm-hmm. But if those guys are able to show their personality and have fun with the fans, they're able to do that. And guess what? College football, they can't do that.
No, they won't allow them to.
There's the change, Freddie. There's a difference between what it used to be and where it is now. I don't know if that's going to, you know, that garners more viewers, but at least that's a different wrinkle in the NFL right now.
Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons, joining me, Freddie Coleman, on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio. I'm glad you mentioned that, because we haven't heard a peep out of Roger Goodell.
Good.
Yes. I mean, usually when you hear from Roger Goodell, it's not going to be anything nice. It's going to be controversial. It's not going to be good. It's always going to seemingly be a black mark for the NFL. But when was the last we've heard of Roger Goodell with anything?
Start of the season, I would believe, or before the season started, because he's got to have his press conferences and talk about what he sees with the league, but I've not seen him in season at all.
Yeah, it's like Roger Goodell saying, so this is what it feels like to be Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner. Mm-hmm. This is what David Stern had all those years in the NBA. I kind of like this kind of party where the league is doing well and I'm not being bothered by anybody and nobody feels that I'm bothering them. Woo, it's been a good time for me 2018 when it comes to the NFL, and we've seen the ratings reflect that. But it goes back to what I say about star power. One minute you look at Tom Brady and you say, boy, he's still doing his thing. Then Drew Brees, man, he might finally win an MVP for the first time in his NFL career, which is mind-boggling to think that this may be the first time he gets an MVP. And also goes back to the celebration. I'll never forget the one celebration that I felt really kind of allowed this to not be talked about in a bad way. Minnesota Vikings, I forget who they were playing on Monday Night Football, and Kyle Rudolph, their tight end, scored, and all the offensive linemen and all the offensive players running the end zone, and then they sit in a circle, and he did duck, duck, goose.
Yes, I saw
it. My favorite celebration for the players ever, because the next day everybody said, "Did you see the little kids game?" And then little kids saying, "What the heck is duck, duck, goose?" So parents had to explain that to their kids. When they did that, the NFL didn't stand in their way. I said, "You know what? They may have been finally able to get it, that it's okay for every player not to be a robot and not to be a cookie cutter." Kyle Rudolph, fantastic, duck, duck, goose. Is there still a place for Carmelo Anthony in the NBA? And even Adam Silver was there for Jimmy Butler in Philadelphia. That's next.
Goose.
Hey, hey, Molly Karam here, host of ESPN's First Take, and I am super excited because football is back, and you know where you'll find me this fall, at the game, thanks to Vivid Seats, the official ticket partner of ESPN. With the Vivid Seats app, it's so easy to find awesome seats to any game, and every purchase is backed by their 100% buyer guarantee. Head to VividSeats.com and enter promo code ESPN at checkout to get 10% off your first order. Get in the action with Vivid Seats. Your team needs you.
Guaranteed promotional terms available on VividSeats.com.
He's Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons. Joining me, Freddie Coleman on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80. I want to know if Shannon Penn's going to be okay. Because the minute you heard the opening lines of this, a smile came across your face like somebody told you that you had Mega Millions. You had never had to work another day in your life, my friend.
No, I was just curious if it was going to be the original or if it was going to be Will Smith's Getting Jiggy With It. I wasn't sure if we were going to go back-to-back Will Smith there. I was just making sure.
No, we can't do that.
That's why I looked up. Yeah. I perked up. I was just making sure.
No, Shannon, he's the greatest dancer.
There we go. That's not the same song, though. That's Christmas.
It's another Will Smith song.
I know. Though. Yeah, exactly. But that's not, I mean, he did Getting Jiggy With It using the sample that we just played by Sister Sledge.
That's so good. The original is the best.
Yeah, he's the greatest dancer. Now Rodgers and Sheik at the height of their powers. Of course, that the original is the best.
I think I have that on vinyl. I got to go back and look. I think I do.
You probably do.
More than likely, I do. I think I still have that. I don't think I
probably do.
I have duplicates, one open and one still in plastic.
I can picture that happening when it comes to you. You can follow us on Twitter, the 1-800-Files.com Twitter feed, whether you're a Sister Sledge or a Nile Rodgers fan or not, at TweetJHood. That's Jonathan's handle. My handle at Coleman ESPN. We put the question out there. We got a couple of responses on Twitter about, does Carmelo Anthony still have a place in the NBA? Jay Gutierrez TV says Melo's time might have run out, Freddie. He can't play until after December. The Houston Rockets are trying to make a play for him, to try to make a trade to see where he can play. If not, they'll put him on waivers. Then he'll be eligible to play for anybody after December 15th. Either way, with Carmelo Anthony, whatever place he may have in the NBA, in my opinion, is not going to be with a contender. I don't think any contender worth their weight in salt in the East or the West is going to think about bringing in a guy like Carmelo Anthony. If he was still a great scorer that you can bring off the bench with a second unit that can score in bunches, then it's worth the risk. To me, he's past that. You know he's not going to defend. He's been a spotty rebounder, and now the one thing he can't do it like he used to. That's why I could see him maybe doing a money grab situation when the team's not going anywhere, but a contending team, that time has run out for Carmelo Anthony, in my opinion, in the NBA.
You know, when you think of the smartest general managers in the NBA, one of the names on the top of that list is usually Daryl Morey. This would be a miss for Daryl Morey because that Rockets team, if you kept it the way it was, if you could keep it the way it was from the money standpoint and not have Melo part of it, once again, we could look at Houston as a serious contender to take on Golden State in the West. It very well could happen again, but their defense is just not as good. And when they signed Carmelo Anthony to Houston, Daryl Morey and the Rockets, I was thinking to myself, like, why would you do that?
Right, I was thinking the same thing.
Why would you do that? I mean, Trevor Ariza, quality defensively, you had size in there that could be able to defend, and so you brought in Carmelo Anthony for what? You already had enough offense. But I have three favorite Melos, Freddie. I got three favorite Melos. My favorite Melo is Olympic Melo. Olympic Melo could be able to dictate the pace of the game and not necessarily shoot the ball a lot because there's so many other talented guys on the floor. I loved Olympic Melo. I love Syracuse Melo. Syracuse Melo, because I was there to see him winning that national championship with Syracuse in New Orleans, if I'm not mistaken. Watched him, and I really enjoyed him at Syracuse. Smooth player, was able to really not only guard at that time, but also shoot the ball well from the outside. So Syracuse Melo's my second favorite. My third favorite Melo is Denver Melo. I like Denver Melo. Denver Melo would pass out of the post. He would also be able to face up and score. You already knew coming out of college he was a scoring guy. But Olympic, Syracuse, Denver. Those are my three favorite Melos. And guess what? He's a Hall of Famer. But the thing is that the game overall, Freddie, as you see, has passed him by. He cannot. If you can't play with Houston, who can you play with and really flourish and help a team?
You can no longer just get the basketball, hold it, and then throw up a brick and have the people go the other way and think that's going to be okay. Carmelo Anthony always wanted what LeBron James had. And what I mean by that is his own basketball team to lead to a championship. he probably thought seeing the way it worked in Denver when he was not the leader of that team, when they gave the Los Angeles Lakers holy hell in that Western Conference Finals, that was a terrific six-game series, even though Denver was on the short side of that series. Carmelo Anthony looked at his peers, looked at a Dwayne Wade, looked at a Carmelo Anthony and said, well, they were able to lead their own teams to a championship. Why can't I do the same thing? Sometimes it's not built in your DNA to do something like that. But I give Carmelo Anthony at least trying to make that work, because he was a stand-up guy with the New York Knicks, especially when Phil Jackson came along and everybody said, oh, that's the savior, Freddie. You're going to eat your words. That's the Messiah. I said, hey, coaching championship teams and putting together one, not even in the same universe. Anytime something bad went wrong, Phil Jackson, James Dolan, the owner, nowhere to be found. The one guy that was a stand-up guy was Carmelo Anthony. Answered every question for the media. Didn't duck the media. Didn't hide out in the training room. Didn't hide out in the locker room. He's always going to get respect from me for that, because it could have been very, very easy for him to do that. But he said, hey, this is what I wanted. I wanted to be the face of the New York Knicks. I'm not just going to run away when things are not going well. And he still didn't want to be traded, but he knew the end was near for him. And he still did not, he did not throw the Knicks under the bus when he left or was forced to leave by the New York Knicks because they wanted to move on. And I don't blame them for that. But he was never going to be that guy that you would say to yourself, okay, we can build around him, because his game that was suited and worked for him all those years was not going to be enough for a team to build around and win a championship.
But he's the smartest guy in the room, Freddie, because look at the money he's got, from Oklahoma City to the Knicks to Houston.
You ever see the GIF or the meme where a guy's running down the street with money? And they show that GIF and that meme all the time with Carmelo Anthony. Like, yes. This is Carmelo Anthony leaving Oklahoma City, going to Houston. This guy just sprinting down a sidewalk with money.
I saw that today, yes. Actually.
That's what you're right about. Carmelo Anthony comes to that. He's like, hey, you can bang me all I want, but this money, it's going right into my account. Thank you very much, because somebody believed in me.
If nothing else, he's got that money. And I know that we get so tied up into championships, and if you're not a champion, then you're not great. And I totally disagree with that. Carmelo Anthony's just going to walk into the Basketball Hall of Fame. He will be a Hall of Famer. He's an Olympian. He's had a great career. It's just not working out for him, Freddie, as far as the way basketball is played today. You just can't do 1-4 and be like, okay, now I'm going to get my 30 points. Mm-hmm. Because you know why? Because offense won't wait for you. They're going to be like, hey, give me the ball, because I don't know what you're doing for 24 seconds, but we got to move this ball side to side and get high percentage shots instead of that, you know, off-balanced, low percentage two that he's used to.
By the way, Carmelo Anthony playing for the Denver Nuggets, the New York Knicks, the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Atlanta Hawks. I don't know how you say he played for the Atlanta Hawks.
Wait a minute.
And the Houston Rockets has made close to $246 million in his NBA career. He didn't play one day for the Atlanta Hawks, was with that organization for 27 days, made $25.5 million. 94 days with the Houston Rockets, he made $182,000+.
Man, that's a lot of banana boats.
That's a lot of bananas.
He might not have a championship, but he's a legend at the bank.
Yeah, you know,
he's got
reserved for Mr. Carmelo Anthony. Don't even think of parking here at any bank. He can write a check that every bank in this country would bounce. That's how much money Carmelo Anthony has made from the NBA. With Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons, I'm Freddie Coleman. Thanks for joining us on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio. Ever since Kyrie Irving cut his hair,
Hayward for Kyrie, working on a 41-point night. Against Van Vliet, left-hand dribble, blows by him, gets to the mid-block and knocks down another one. The most shots made by a Celtic in the last 20 years. 18 of them for Kyrie Irving, 43 points. Celtics lead 119-112.
My man Sean Grandy on the call on 98.5 The Sports Hub. The Boston Celtics win it. Kyrie Irving did something that had not been done since Larry Bird did it on March 15th, 1992. Became the first Celtic player with at least 40 points and 10 assists in a home game. Had not been done since Larry Bird did it back in 1992.
One thing that you and I noticed watching the game, it just shows you how intelligent the Celtic fan is. They were standing up and applauding to end the third quarter.
I've seen that before.
There was 2 minutes left on the clock, and they were just trying to root on the Celtics just to get, you know, more shots up to get into the fourth quarter. I appreciate that. I'm sure that the Celtics fans and the players, they all appreciate it together because, you know, Kyrie Irving is just so special, and the fans really love that they have a catalyst now, someone that's really the face of that franchise.
Ever since he cut his hair, he's averaging a lot in the last eight games, including shooting over 50% from the field and the three-point line, 98% from the free throw line, averaging over 28 points per game. He had 43 points, 11 assists, and only three turnovers in 39 minutes of action. So that was good. Jimmy Butler made his home debut with the Philadelphia 76ers. And when they needed to have it.
20.8 seconds to go in the game. Sixers by two. Simmons lobs at Jimmy. He catches and he gets a left-hand layup. Jimmy Butler. Down low on Joe Ingles. Simmons with a great inbound. And Joe Ingles pointing at his teammates like, hey, you got to tell me about that screen. And that will go down as one of the easiest baskets of the game. Jimmy Butler shoots and scores. He leads the Sixers in his home debut.
97.5, the Fanatic in Philadelphia. 76ers beat Utah 113-107. Jimmy Butler, 38 minutes, 12 of 15 from the floor. He had 28 points, 7 assists, 2 steals in those 38 minutes of action. Even Adam Silver, Jonathan Hood, was in the building to see Philly's debut when it comes to Jimmy Butler.
Just wants to find out if there's going to be any drama. Silver's there just to make sure there's any drama where maybe Butler felt like he wasn't getting the ball. I'm just saying, he's got to be there to police it just in case. Listen, I kid because I don't care, but I will tell you that when it comes to Jimmy Butler and looking at this team, my hope is, especially if you're a Sixers fan, that everything is going to be a cohesive unit. Mm-hmm. Because here's the thing, just like the Kevin Durant discussion, we don't know if Jimmy Butler is going to fall in love with Philadelphia. Now, that's a good team. At the very worst, a top three team in the NBA in the Eastern Conference. But will Jimmy be there for the long haul? It's not necessarily about this year. It's about sustained success throughout. It's going to be a dogfight, Freddie, between Toronto and a young upstart Milwaukee team. Looking at this Philadelphia 76ers and Boston Celtics.
Indiana, don't forget about Indiana's, the Pacers.
Yeah. McMillan's done a great job. So you gotta think about, if you're Jimmy Butler, do you want to be part of this? Because it's going to be a dogfight for, I think, the next 5-plus years.
Well, he talked to NBC Sports Philadelphia after the game was over. This is what Jimmy Butler had to say about the young group in Philly.
Oh, man, talented, hardworking. I mean, and their will to win is unmatchable. I love this group of guys. They want to win, like I said, and I think we'll continue to do that.
Oh, a shot at Minnesota Timberwolves players.
Right to the face and a left to the jaw.
Oh, God.
By Jimmy Butler.
He's so petty. Why?
I don't think petty's the word. I think he needed something stronger than that.
Where are we on ESPN Radio?
That is very true.
So
we enjoy our jobs. Yes, we do. But Jimmy Butler not giving about the boys he used to play with the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Why?
I mean, come on, Jimmy Butler.
Everybody wants to win. And when somebody messes up, you talk to them. They don't take it personal. They do their job. I think everybody's such a good basketball player, and we all want to do right, that sometimes we mess up.
Savage.
Oh, my goodness.
Savage.
I mean, just a left and a right to Towns and Wiggins.
Oh, okay. Savage. Jimmy Butler, FTW for the win.
Oh.
This NFL player has a unique plan for life after football, and it involves something that Jonathan Hood loves so, so much. That's next on ESPN Radio.
Me?
Hey, college football fans, Kirk Herbstreit here. Whether you're home gating or tailgating this season, score big on game day eats with Eckrich Smoked Sausage. And now you can enter the 2019 Road to the National Championship sweepstakes. You can join me at the College Football Playoff National Championship in Santa Clara, California, for a chance to throw to win $1 million. To enter and learn more, visit EckridgeFootball.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Sweepstakes ends 12/2018. Contest rules online.
Here's Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons. Joining me, Freddie Coleman on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. Don't forget about college football this Saturday, even though plenty of scheduled games have forgotten about college football. But Missouri will take on Tennessee, presented by Dr. Pepper. Coverage begins at 2:30 Eastern Time on ESPN Radio, ESPNRadio.com, and the ESPN app.
Did Madonna steal that song?
Yes, she did.
Papa Del Preach, okay.
Not stole. I think stole is such an ugly, ugly word. I prefer to call it creative interpretation.
You clean up anything. You clean up anybody's
mess. I don't want Madonna being part of a frivolous lawsuit courtesy of Naked Eyes and Promises Promises. We can't put that out there.
Because I was going to say, okay, that has that similar sound of Madonna. But,
A little bit. Hey, somebody has taken something from somebody somewhere, somehow, some way of music. I mean, George Harrison got sued for doing My Sweet Lord, so anybody can get sued. Mm-hmm. Even Robin Thicke tried to prevent a lawsuit by saying, you can't sue me. And they did anyway. Even though we know he got that from Marvin Gaye.
You know he stole it from Marvin Gaye.
From Blurred Lines, no doubt about that.
You know he did that.
Yeah. Well, Nyheim Hines does not want to steal anybody's plan for life after football. He has his own plan. He did a lunch shift during his bye week at Bojangles, hours before a kickoff on a college campus. One customer walked in, ordered $100 worth of food. Another told Nyheim Hines his fries were cold, begging for fresh ones. Plenty saw the face of an NFL player peek out from under his Bojangles visor in the drive-through window, and they wanted to know, man, what are you doing here? Now, Hines is making $480,000 in base salary this year. He's the youngest member of the 53-man roster for the Indianapolis Colts. He's been doing really well so far, making that $480,000. But he also realizes that there is a life after football. He says, you know what? I want to run a Bojangles. If I'm going to do it one day, I want to do it all. Already, Jonathan Hood, he says that he wants to run several, at least five. So he said, hey, why not jump in on the bottom floor and see exactly what I've got, what I want to get myself into?
Mature beyond his years. Freddie, he's only 22, but he's talking like he's 32 or 42. He's thinking about the next step because what's the average of the NFL player, the lifespan, as far as being in the league, like 3 years?
Three and a half years.
Three and a half years. Yes. So you got to think about what's next. Bojangles, boy, if you're going to start someplace, start there because for my time in Myrtle Beach 4 or 5 times over the last 10 years, Bojangles, that's the spot right there.
You going to be okay?
Yeah. I'm salivating. But yeah, Bojangles. I remember the first time being there in the drive-thru. My wife and I are there, and you know, she said, you know, let's get this and let's get that. We drive there, and we give the lady the money. She says,
yeah,
okay, could you just go around the drive-thru, and when you come back around from those other 5 cars, your food will be ready. So we get our food
right.
And look, you and I have been from the big city,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. Yes.
You get chicken, and she gives us the box, but no bag.
Really?
So here. nothing like hot grease underneath the bottom of the Bojangles. And I said, "Ma'am, do you have a bag?" She goes, "A bag." Yeah, to carry this hot chicken and these biscuits. She goes, let me see if I can find you one there. And so she finds me a bag, and I'm like, it was almost like I asked her for sliced bread in the 1700s. I mean, I just wanted to have a bag to carry the chicken in like any other place.
Oh, man.
Now, Nyheim Hines was your take order. If he took your order, he'd have made sure you got it back.
Absolutely. And I wouldn't have complained about the cold fries.
No, oh, their fries were cold, but the chicken was that warm and that greasy? That's what you're telling me about Bojangles?
You get a bow box. That's what it is. It doesn't come in a bag unless you get like a Supreme Tailgate special. It comes in a box. It's hot. You get your you get your chicken. You get your fixings, whether it's the pinto beans or your dirty rice or your fries. And you better get a biscuit. Speaking of biscuits, get one of those Bojangles Bowberry biscuits.
Oh,
man, you know what?
You only know this from a friend, right? Only a friend has told you this. You don't know this from personal experience, right, Shannon Penn?
I don't have type 2 diabetes for nothing. Right. That sweet tea.
Oh, good Lord. Oh, my God.
But he's got all his fingers and toes, so he's good.
For now, apparently. For now.
But that box underneath the bottom, Shannon, it was hot. I was like look, maybe I'm frou-frou and I'm from Chicago, but I just like to have a bag to carry this stuff in.
You get that box, open it up, you rip the sides off there, and go to work.
Not that you're speaking from experience, right, Shannon Penn? From what you've heard.
See, that's one of the things. I lived in Raleigh, North Carolina for 10 years.
That's
so,
where he was, by the way, on his bye week. Yeah, he was in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yeah, Naeem is from that area. He was actually from Garner.
Right.
So, I remember him in high school.
Right.
And absolutely, Bojangles, I'm sure you get disappointed. You move away and you realize there's no Bojangles. That's one of the things that I had to think about when I relocated and joined ESPN. I was like, man, South Florida and Connecticut, they're cool and everything, but they don't got a Bojangles, though.
He said, but he tagged Bojangles as he left for training camp saying, going to miss you guys, tagging the official account. That's how much he likes the place. Bojangles reached out. Since there are none north of West Virginia, we all know that here in Connecticut, they sent him to the closest Bojangles location for every road game of the Colts 2018 season. He had a friend bring him an order after the Colts week 2 game in Washington, D.C. He inquired about trying his hand behind the counter, and voila, here we are with Nyheim Hines.
A bag? Let me see if I can find you one, dear.
He said the best fries in the fast food industry. The chicken's really good, and they have these things called Bo-Berry biscuits. Nothing like them. Apparently, we already heard that from Shannon Penn. We already know.
It's terrific. Bojangles is great, especially when it's hot.
Well, especially you found out the hard way.
Yes, it singed my fingertips.
Oh, Lord.
My precious fingertips.
John Ryder's going to try to save all of us, we hope, with Sports It All Night and talk about the night in the NBA and get you ready for the NFL and college football weekend. For Jonathan Hood, I'm Freddie Coleman. This has been Freddie and Fitzsimmons on a mighty ESPN Radio. Take care. God bless. And as always, keep cool.
Don't be talking about my mama!
I think smoking always affected my daily life because I was a closet smoker. It really sort of controlled my entire day. My boss is the one that recommended Juul, so I decided to give it a try. You don't get any of the odor of smoking. There's no ash all over your car. I would say give it a try.
Get the flavor and satisfaction of smoking without the mess of cigarette ash or lingering odor. Switch to Juul. Check out JUUL.com/sports. If you don't smoke or vape, don't start.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.